Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome. In just a few moments, we'll play the conclusion to the message we began airing last week by our associate pastor, David Harris Jr., entitled, What Garment Are You Wearing? But first, we have time this week for two songs by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. We'll be playing the first two tracks from their project entitled, Let My Words Be Few. The name of this song is, Come. Now is the time to worship.
Come. Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come. Just as you are to worship. Come. Just as you are before your God. Come.
One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now.
Come, now is the time to worship. The time to give your heart. Oh, come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come.
One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day
If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Voice of Truth, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church. And now the second track from Let My Words Be Few. The name of this song is Let Everything That Has Breath by Phillips, Craig, and Dean.
Praise you in the evening, when I'm young and when I'm old. laughing, praise you when I'm grieving, in every season of the soul. If we could see how much you're worth, how your mind, your endless stuff, surely we will never cease to praise you.
To praise you,
yeah.
And everything that, everything that, everything that has been, praise the Lord. And everything that, everything that, and everything that has been, praise the Lord.
Praise you in the heavens, joining with the angels, praising you forever and a day. Oh yeah. Praising you on earth now, joining with creation, calling all nations to your praise.
If they could see how much you're worth, your power, your might, your endless love, then surely they would never cease to praise.
Conclusion to the message, What Garment Are You Wearing? By Associate Pastor David Harris Jr. And let me remind you that he's wearing a suit that's been decorated with many signs that have names of sin on them. Since this is radio, you'll just have to imagine that visual as well as you can.
I went to a men's conference this weekend and had a guy there that had a massive heart attack. And 2 days later, he had a massive stroke. He was the guy that preached this. He had it in April. They did a triple bypass surgery on him. And while they were doing the triple bypass surgery on him, he had a massive stroke. Just boom. And the doctors were looking at him and his enzymes, anybody that has heart problems know all that. I mean, they were just skyrocketing. And they called and they told him, they said, there's 5,000 people praying for you right now. They got word to his wife and to a couple ministers that were with him. He was preaching a conference when it happened. It was Jeff Arnold standing there with him, seeing him have the heart attack, and took him back to his hotel room and prayed all night long with him, asking God, God, don't let him die. We need him. Don't let this man die. Don't let this man go. The Lord keeps bringing me back to this. There is people that God has put into your life that you probably don't even know about that is pleading the blood of Christ over my soul, over your soul, trying to keep you from going to the gates of hell and to fiery gates. It's not a bunch of fairy tales. There is a hell, and I want to shun. I don't want to go there. There is a heaven that I want to gain. I want to go to heaven. I want somebody to get a hold of God for me, and I want my soul to be saved. I don't want this stuff on my soul. I don't want it in my heart. I don't want it, God. We all do it and we say it. Oh, it feels so much better in here that we prayed, and now we can just walk into the throne room. But he would, little guy, and every time he has a conversation with somebody, he asks them, he said, where do you go to church? He said he stopped at a hotel. He was going to Florida, and he stopped in a hotel in Alabama. And he walked in there, and the hostess behind the counter says, hey, sir, how you doing? What are you here for? He said, well, I'm stopping here to sleep. And he laughed. And he said, I'm on my way to Florida to preach a conference. And he goes, where do you go to church? And the guy said, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Bible. Man wrote the Bible. He said, huh? He said, you probably don't believe in the Constitution of the United States either, do you? He said, well, yeah, I do. And he says, why? A man wrote it. The guy goes, huh? And he goes, you probably don't believe in that manual. It tells you how to run this hotel, do you? He goes, yeah. He goes, why? He goes, man wrote it. And before he was done with that guy, he had him convinced that there was a God in heaven and that God wrote the Bible. He said he was in prayer. Now, he's pastor, so sometimes them things, pastoral things come out. He said he was in prayer, and his secretary comes and said, hey, pastor, there's a young lady out here with her son needing to talk to you, and I think she wants money. So he gets up, and he goes, now, I will promise you. He said, when someone interrupts my prayer, he goes, I'm a little bit frustrated, and I'm a little bit upset. And so he said, I went in there, and he said, I seen the little boy, and he was cute, and it kind of calmed down my frustration. I was playing with the little boy and talking to him. It was money. She was needing money. Her husband was beating her up, and she was wanting to get back home. And he asked her, he said, where do you go to church? She goes, I don't believe in church. She goes, you can have church wherever you want. He goes, you got to have a church building. You got to go to a church somewhere. She goes, no, I don't believe in it. It's all just man-made stuff. I don't believe in it. She goes, I can go down in that creek bed right there and have church. He goes, oh, really? You don't believe in church? She goes, yeah. He goes, you believe in church? She goes, no, I don't. He goes, all right, then go down that creek bed right there and see if it's going to give you any money. He said, you came to a church because you believed this church was going to give you money. So you believe in church. Colossians 3:10. And have put on a new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Wow. I'm probably not the best look. My wife thinks I'm knockout. Thank God. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm not married to you. But I look a whole lot better now in my spirit because God, he put his spirit in me. He said, that's what that said. He said, I'm renewed in the image of the one that created me. Wow, I've got something in me that's of God, yes. I've got the Spirit of God. It helps me every day. When them little things like this want to attach itself to my garment and wants to try to financially problems and fear and disease and vanity wants to try to get a hold of me and start dragging me down, I can get into a place where I can say, God, you see what's going on? You see what it's trying to do to my garment? Can you have it? Can we have a little bit of Holy Ghost and shake some things off of my garment, God? Can you shake me tonight? Can you deal with my soul? Plan of salvation, death, burial, and resurrection. I was raised with those phrases. Death, burial, and resurrection. Repent, it's the death. I'm repenting. I'm killing off that old man. I'm killing off everything that old man did to me. All the marriage problems that thing could cause. All the fear and the anger, perversion, and sexually addictions that come on some people. It's a problem in our world. We need to combat it. The drug addictions, the alcoholism, the cigarette problems, all this stuff is problems that we need to combat with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I used to tell people, I'd get so frustrated. Just bear with me, some new people that's coming tonight. Just bear with me. I'd see these boys acting like they were homosexuals. I'd get so mad, I said, you want that thing to overtake you? Keep acting like that, and you watch what happens to your soul. You're not supposed to act like that. You're supposed to act like God. You're not supposed to act like a little fuddy-duddy walking around if you're wearing a lip wrist and all that. That's a bunch of hogwash. Get yourself in a prayer closet and get your mind fixed. Oh, it won't hurt you. I've seen too many of them get overtaken by that spirit because they acted like they were one. Why would you want to act like that if you're full of God's Spirit? And I've had them laugh at me when I've said things. This is a world that is about ready to die, and God's about ready to take His church out of here. We need to act like the church. We need to show a world of a God who loves them, who talks to them. Woo! I'm not asking for forgiveness, but I will close my eyes in a minute because some things of people, I don't say that. We're still free right now in America to an extent. We can combat sin and speak at it and tell it it's wrong. You need to find an altar and get yourself right. Oh, be love and mercy, love and love and love and love. That's true. But there's also time for getting an altar and repent. That guy told another story. He said he was in a prayer meeting again, and the secretary interrupted him again. And he was really mad that time because he said, I was really starting to get a hold of God. And she said, Pastor, it's Sister So-and-so. She's, well, you just need to take the phone call. So he said, time I got to the phone, I was pretty mad. He answers the phone. He says, Sister, what's your problem? She goes, well, Sister So-and-so sat in my seat the other night, and if she's there, I am never coming back again. He said, good. Don't come back to this church again. He said, just stay home and go to hell over that pew. He said, he walked out in the sanctuary and he goes, I don't see your name on it nowhere. He said, matter of fact, you didn't even put nothing in it. He said, you ought to be happy there's a pew in here for you to come and sit down. Well, we say it to some of you. You're all laughing about it now. Let me say it to one of you. Man, the Dukes will come up and, man, we'd do some. I'd have to see if I knew some more judo. We laugh about stuff like that, but that's sad. We let little tiny things like that. See how that thing tries to attach itself? What was that? Jealousy. Whew. I'm definitely not jealous of anybody. I was praying one day, and the Lord spoke to me and said, they're jealous of you. I started laughing. I said, well, jealous of what? Financial problems? Sickness? They can have it all, Lord. Give it to them. I said, they don't have to be jealous of me. I said, I'll take what they got. Give me their financial blessings. Give me their great health. Go ahead. Give it to them. He probably laughs at me, Sister Murphy. God told me He's going to totally deliver someone in here and fix them. Because they want it. If you don't want it, sit back here and make fun of it all and see what happens in your life. See what happens in your spirituality. See what happens where God don't take you. Death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism. You're died to sin. You get in that watery tank right there. Bury somebody in Jesus' name. All their sins are washed away. Right then, that day, that point in their life is a brand new day. I know it's hard to comprehend sometimes, even for us that's been in it for 40, 50, 60 years. It's hard, very hard for us to comprehend because we have allowed things attached to ourselves after we went down into that watery grave. We've even allowed some of the stuff that God washed away in that tank to creep back up on our garment. I got to say this to somebody in here. I just had a friend of mine die. I just got word. You know what they died of? Drinking too much energy drink. Be careful. Died, 37 years old, dropped over dead of a heart attack because the energy drink was taking all the potassium out of their heart, and they thought they were just getting tired and they needed another energy drink, so they drank another one, and they thought they needed another energy drink because they'd get no more tired, and they drank another one, and they wound up and they died of a massive heart attack because the potassium in their body was washed completely out. Whoop, I've drank them. Guess what I'm not going to do again? I ain't going to drink another one. Be careful. Well, I won't have that problem. I hope not, but sometimes we got to warn each other. Be careful. 37 years old. That ain't very old. I'm 37. That ain't very old. They're dead now. Over a drinking energy drink. I was having chest pains the other day, a while back. Been having it for a long time. Finally convinced myself to go get checked. Because in the Harris family, especially on my mom's side, the Matheny, every one of them has either had a massive heart attack or died of a heart attack or open heart surgery. I'm thinking, well, genetics, I better go get checked. Anybody ever said that? Well, it's generational stuff. We inherit that off of our parents. I'm going to go somewhere with this here in a minute. My mom had it, so guess what? How many's ever had somebody tell you that? Well, great-great-grandma had cancer. Never smoked a cigarette in her life, but she has cancer. So guess what? You're going to have cancer. And then grandma, great-grandma gets it and tells grandma, and grandma tells mom, and mom tells you and convinces you that you're going to have cancer. Let's not call it cancer. Let's call it heart disease. Let's call it high blood pressure. Y'all remember the day I was up here leading service? Who all was here that? Brother Andrew was. I think he moved so fast that night. Fear. Remember that day? I'm leading service. I told Brother Noel, I walked in. I said, Brother Noel, Brother Mark was there. I said, I can't lead tonight. I said, I'm sick. I do not need to be leading. Let someone else lead. And he said, oh, you'll be all right. He said, just lead. I walked to that pulpit, and I knew what my problem was. I had high blood pressure at 23 years old. My blood pressure was running like 190 over 120, 140. May not, well, I've had it higher than that. But I was young. That's too high. That's too high. Heather's a nurse. She'll tell you. It's too high. And I walked to the pulpit thinking, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? And I could feel it. Everything was just spinning. I don't know. Was you here that night, Brother Brian? I mean, just the whole room was just spinning. And they were singing Amazing Grace. I said, man, I'm glad it's not a fast song because I'd have to clap my hands. I said, I might be able to make it through Amazing Grace. And I clenched the hold of that pulpit and I stood there. Well, I thought I was feeling God, dummy. I let go of the pulpit. Started raising my hand, Amazing Grace, and I was holding like this. And it felt like someone shot me on this side of my head. And fear went on me. I said, Lord, just let that be a migraine because it's hot in here. And it wasn't hot. And that thing shot down the right, left side of my head, went down my jugular vein, hit my heart. And it shot, felt like something shot clean out my fingertips. Matter of fact, it hurt so bad I looked at my fingertips to make sure they weren't blowed out. It's funny, but I did it. And when I did that, boom, I hit the ground, flat on my back. That big grand piano back there underneath the steps was sitting right here. I missed it. My head missed it by like that much. I went boom and hit the ground, flat on my back. Brother Dodd was here and he walks over. They were sitting there. I was so numb. I wasn't knocked out. I was conscious, but I couldn't move. I'm in my mind, 23, 24 years old, I'm thinking, I've just had a heart attack. I'm going to die right here, and they're not even going to worry about it. I said, they're thinking I'm in the spirit. What's Brother Dodd do? He comes over and he said, Brother Harris, are you sick or are you in the spirit? I said, Brother Dodd, get me off this platform right now. There was a lady sitting there, third, fourth row back. She was demon-possessed. A lot of people didn't know it, but she was demon-possessed. It scared her so bad she thought her devil killed me. They took me to the hospital, brother. I think Brother McLean and Brother Mark Norman. Brother Andrew and Brother Mark Norman. I don't know if I even said anything in the car, Brother Andrew. I don't know. In my mind, I was just thinking, I'm going to go there. They're going to do them scans, and I'm going to have a heart. I said, Lord, I said, whatever it takes. I said, I do not want to be on this blood pressure medicine or nothing. I said, you heal me right now. I said, I don't care about anything else. You heal me right now. So I get to the hospital and they just think I'm nuts because I can't find nothing. Made me run that treadmill until I was about to bust a blood vessel in my head. Put that thing to that treadmill. It was like this because I was young. They said, oh, you're young. You could do it. Man, it's like I was climbing up Mount Everest, man. I was flying as fast as I could. I told that doctor, I said, you better get me off here. I'm going to die of the heat exhaustion. Oh, you're young. You'll be okay. Went through all them tests. God healed me of blood pressure. My brother has it. My sister has it. My mom has it. And my dad has it. I don't have it. The other day I got sick. I don't have it. I'm getting to a point. I'm almost done, I think. Because somebody's going to get their deliverance tonight. The other day I got sick and sometimes your blood pressure goes up when you have infection in your body. God healed it so good, when I got infection, my blood pressure stays normal. My blood pressure runs about 112 over 70, sometimes 65. That's pretty good blood pressure. We serve a great big God. What has attached itself to your garment? Is it sin There's an altar for sin up here. Is it sickness? There's an altar. Disease, pride, vanity, lust, depression, anger, insecurity. We can start naming all kinds of stuff. Stuff I wouldn't have enough paper and enough places to tape on my suit jacket of the things that this world and the spirits of this world and just flesh will attach itself to your soul and to your garment. Cancer, that word cancer just scares people. Because, I mean, it's a disease that they just never can really get control of sometimes. And it scares people to death when they hear, they call it the C word, or they try to have different avenues of it because they don't want to say cancer. And I know we've prayed for people that has cancer and the Lord has decided to take them on home. And it kind of like wounds our faith sometimes. Thinking, man, Lord, you could have healed that. And it kind of does. I mean, I'm going to be transparent and honest. It does. It wounds our faith sometimes. Because sometimes we don't want to see that person go on that way. I wish I had a singing voice. I really do. My dad sings a song, and he sings that song, "The Sun's Gonna Shine Again." He wrote that song. He'll get up and sing that song, and everybody else is just kind of looking at him. Man, he'll get shouting on that song. And sometimes I get that way. I really just don't care. I was preaching at Dad's there the other night. It's good to have a pastor that knows the voice of God. There was a time when we were little kids, and Dad had a whole bus full of kids, little kids, coming to the church. Whole front rows, two rows. I mean, we didn't have a whole lot of adults in our church, but we had all kinds of Sunday school kids. And he'd take two or three trips in his little Datsun 210 car. And he'd pile them in there. Finally, he got a van one day and got them all in there. But there was a guy that showed up at church one day. Just out of the blue, shows up to church. And he wanted to be a children's choir leader. My dad is one of the nicest persons, and he'll let about anybody testify. He looked at that guy and said, "You sit there until I tell you can testify. You sit there. Don't you come here, but don't say nothing." I'm thinking, that ain't Dad. And that guy stayed there for two or three months. When he did leave, they found, it wasn't very long later, we was reading the newspaper, Brother Todd, and they'd arrested him in the park because he was molesting kids. If he hadn't had somebody that was listening to God, and God said, "You better be still and don't let him do nothing." Oh, don't say stuff like that, Brother Harris. We need somebody. We need somebody. We need a preacher in our life that knows the voice of God. We need saints in our life and friends in our life that know the voice of God. There's reasons why people are coming. We know the voice of God, or we ought to know it. And he spoke to me all day today and said, "There's going to be somebody there that I'm going to pour my love into them. I'm going to touch them." Whether it be saint or visitor, God said it today. I, not me, not Brother Harris, God said today, "I'm going to pour my love into them." All they have is hatred. All they have is anger. All they have is this. But tonight, the garment is going to change. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Ghost. I need God's Spirit to talk. "He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save of he that receiveth it." God is going to change my name. God is going to change everything about me. God can do it. I can't do nothing. I can't change nobody. I can't even heal nobody. I can't perform a miracle. I can't do anything. But with His Spirit inside of me, we can help somebody. It's time we let God open the heavens of curtains and just pour out His Spirit. And just pour out His Spirit. If you need the Holy Ghost in here, these altars are open. I need an encounter with Jesus.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.